Okay, take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 28. I was kind of thinking that was good that was down, because then you don't have to be distracted by the window back there and all the beautiful designs, but now you're going to be looking at it. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16. It's a privilege to be here at my home church, and I'm thankful for the time here we have in September, no meeting scheduled, to be here in our home church and be a part of the ministry. And just an update on how the Lord is working with our deputation. We have two churches right now that have told us they're going to be voting on us this month. And if both of them take us on, that should bring us up to 96 or 97%. And then a church in Kansas, where Tim and Christy are, I think they might take us on as well. So please pray for those things. And I believe the Lord is going to provide, and it's just in His timing. So we're waiting on Him. This evening, I'd like to speak to you about the deliverance that Christians have in Christ and the victory that we have over sin. And I'd like this to read a few verses here from Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now you may know this passage as dealing with the Great Commission. And you know, without the promises that are given to us in these passages, I don't think we could go out into all the world and preach the gospel and disciple all nations. And I'd like us to look right at those promises here in verses 18 and verse 20. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then at the end of verse 20, And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, it's a comfort to know that Jesus Christ is always with us. You know, as a Christian, even as a missionary, I don't think I could go over to South Africa without knowing that Jesus Christ is always with me. You know, as a father and a son, having that relationship, you can kind of grasp what this means. When we are teaching right now Peter to walk up and down the stairs by himself, he always wants to have help, and for some reason he struggles wanting to go up the stairs. Now, I understand, you know, kids, that's a big thing, but he just doesn't like going up, even if he's crawling up. So today was the first time I got him to go up and down stairs by himself. But I don't think he ever would have done that unless I was right there with my hand on his shoulder or standing right next to him. It was a comfort for him to know that Daddy was there. You know, it's the same with Christians. Jesus said that he has all authority and he is with us always. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ is always with us. And we can rest assured that we have the victory through him. Lord, I pray that you would enable me to preach your word in your way. And please speak to each heart tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point of my message tonight is that the world has no authority over you. The world has no authority over you.
What is the world?
Well, I'm not really talking about the earth, you know, the globe, the ground that you're sitting on. I'm talking about the system of this world. It's headed up by Satan. The system of rebellion against God, the cosmos. The world has no authority over you. Let's turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 36. John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." If you're a child of God tonight, you're a part of God's kingdom. You're a part of the kingdom of God. You're a part of Jesus Christ's kingdom. So what does he say about his kingdom? He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, I am a part of the United States of America. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And you know what that means? That means no matter where I go in the world, I have to pay taxes to the United States government. What a wonderful government we have. I have to pay taxes no matter where I go. I'll be paying hundreds of dollars a month in just Social Security and Medicare taxes every month as a missionary. Sometimes I wonder, is that fair? But that's how it is. But, you know, when I go to South Africa, I'm not a part of their kingdom. And I'm going to be on a visitor's visa. And because I'm on a visitor's visa, they don't have the authority to tax me like they would if I was a citizen of South Africa. We are a part as Christians of the Lord's kingdom. And because we're a part of his kingdom, this world system of rebellion against God has no authority over us. That's why when the world tells us to do something wrong, do something against our conscience, we can say no, because we're not a part of their kingdom. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Galatians 1, verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Because you are a Christian, you have that deliverance that is in Jesus Christ. It's not deliverance that you have earned, it's deliverance through Christ. And I think that's something that we as Christians many times forget, that we are in Jesus Christ's kingdom. We're a part of his kingdom, and we have deliverance through Christ. You know, we don't have to go about in defeat as Christians and thinking, you know, this world is just getting terrible. It is getting terrible. It is getting wicked, and it's getting more wicked every day. And we don't have to gripe about our politicians and how evil they are, because we're not a part of their kingdom. We're a part of God's kingdom. And we have deliverance from this world through Christ. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 give us a solution to part of this problem with being in the world and how we can have victory over sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ right now is set down on the right hand of the throne of God? That signifies that he has authority. He is in the place of ultimate authority over the world. We are in his kingdom. And that should comfort us that we are in a kingdom and the ruler of that kingdom has all authority in this world today. And the devil is a defeated foe. But there's also another part that we have to recognize. Not only does the world not have authority over us, the flesh has no authority over us. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. You think, well, I'm in this world, and I know I have victory over the world through Christ, but my flesh still gives me a lot of problems. And I've experienced that myself. I still have the flesh, and the flesh can give us a lot of problems. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened." That word quickened means he's made us alive. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, the people out in the world today, they can't even help but sin. They're a part of the world. They're in bondage to the lusts of the flesh. But, he says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." See, our position today is not the position of being bound by the flesh, like all those around us. Our position is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We talked earlier about the fact that Jesus Christ is seated right now at the right hand of the throne of God. And in Christ, we also are seated there in heavenly places with him. We have victory over the flesh. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, a great passage that talks about the victory that we as Christians have over the flesh. Romans 8, and I'd just like to look briefly here at verse 12. We'll come back to this passage. Romans 8, verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." We are no longer debtors to the flesh. You know, the fact is, when you're a servant to somebody, you have to obey them. But the Bible says we aren't servants anymore of the flesh. We're servants of God. So therefore, we have the ability to obey him. The people in the world today, the world is going to get worse and worse when there's less Christians because they are debtors to the flesh. Not only does the world have no authority over us in the flesh, but number three, the devil has no authority over you. The devil has no authority over you. You can turn to John chapter 12 and verse 28. The devil has no authority over you. Now, this is a truth that many people who claim to be Christians have never grasped, that the devil has no authority over them. And maybe part of the problem is that they're not really saved. I remember when I was in South Africa a few years ago, and before Elans Fontein Baptist Church moved to its present location at the sports school, they were meeting in a building at a school, a high school in town. And this school was a popular place for churches to rent because they had a lot of facilities. And so we rented a Sunday school, a classroom there, and we had our church there. And kind of across a parking lot was the main building, and in there, a charismatic church met. And boy, you could hear all sorts of hoopla going on in there, the drums beating and the music, you know, going really loud. And then you could hear them, you know. They would be trying to cast out demons. And they'd repeat over and over and over, trying to cast demons out of people. You know, I think in reality, they were actually bringing the demons right to the people. Because they didn't realize that Christians are not under the authority of the devil. Christians are under the authority of Christ, and the devil does not have victory over us. John chapter 12, verse 28. It says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You know, it's a wonderful fact that the prince of this world has been cast out. Now, he's still in the world trying to deceive people today, but in position, Christ has authority. It's wonderful to have that promise in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, for the church, that Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." As Christians, we can rest assured that we do not have the devil in authority over us. You know, and interesting things that Christians need to recognize is that the devil is our enemy. He's not our authority. The devil is our enemy, not our authority. A lot of times Christians act like the devil's their authority. And they follow the world, and the world is headed up by Satan. But the devil is our enemy, not our authority. You know, if you're living for the world, and I'm not just talking about worldliness such as immodesty and music and things like that. I'm talking about living for the things of this world. And you're not living for God. You're living for the wrong kingdom. Because the devil is our enemy, not our authority. You know, when someone is fighting in a battle, it's important where he gets his orders from. You know, if you're fighting in, where are we fighting nowadays? In Afghanistan. And you're fighting against the Taliban. And you turn on your radio to receive your signals from headquarters. And somehow the Taliban hacks into the radio system. And they imitate your commander, and they start giving you orders. Do you think you want to follow their orders? No. And I was looking into this deception in combat. And one of the greatest tools that militaries have used is deception. And the thing is, our enemy, the devil, that's one of his favorite tools, is deception. So we need to be watching out for the deception of the devil. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. A familiar passage, I'm sure. Ephesians 6, verse 12 tells us who we are fighting against. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're not under the authority of the devil, and God has given us the tools, right in His Word, with which we can defeat the devil. So, are you recognizing today the deceit of the devil? Maybe the devil has brought in some of his deceit in your life right now. And he's convincing you to live for the world. Or he's distracting you with certain things. Or he's making you think that something you're doing is okay when it really isn't. You know, there's three tools that the devil uses when he tempts believers. And you can find these in 1 John chapter 2. We're not going to turn there. But these are the three tools he uses. He uses the lust of the flesh. He uses the lust of the eyes. And he uses the pride of life. Simply, the lust of the flesh is when the devil brings a temptation to you regarding your flesh, the physical desires of your body. And he tempts you with them. For example, in the Garden of Eden, the devil tempted Eve with the fruit. And it says when she saw that the fruit was good for food. You know, that was the lust of the flesh right there. And the devil got her deceived because she thought it was good because it was good for food. And then the lust of the eyes. And she also saw the fruit was good. It looked good too. You know, the devil likes to deceive us through our eyes. Deceive us, you know, men especially. He likes to deceive us with our eyes, you know. The lust of the eyes. Lust against, you know, he wants us to look at those bad pictures at the grocery store. What should we do when we see a picture that is questionable? Should we take a second look to make sure it's not, you know, make sure it's not bad? No, just look away. Get away from the questionable things. And also the pride of life. You know, also, Eve saw the devil told her that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She thought, you know, I can know more. I can know the difference between good and evil. And I'll be like a god. And that's what the world wants for us today. They tell us that you need to get your higher learning and that will solve all the problems. And, you know, don't believe the fairy tales in the Bible. But that's the pride of life. That's one of the deceits of the devil. So we need to recognize who does not have authority over us. The world, the flesh, the devil. But we also need to know who has authority over us. Christ has authority over us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. If the world doesn't have authority over us, the devil doesn't have authority over us, the flesh doesn't have authority over us, who does? Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ has authority over you tonight, if you're a Christian. Not only does Christ have authority over you, He has authority, in a sense, over everything. So He can give you authority over the world. He can give you victory. He can give you victory over the world. He can give you victory over the flesh. And He can give you victory over the devil. Let's think again of Matthew chapter 28. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power is the word authority. Jesus Christ has all authority over you. The next time you're tempted with something that really tempts you, and you find it difficult to yield to God, just remember the promise of Christ that all authority is given unto me. And lo, I am with you always. Because Jesus Christ is with you if you're a child of God and you have victory over sin. You know, you're a man and you see that appealing thing that you know isn't good for you, but you're tempted. What should you do? Claim the authority of Christ and the victory that is in Him. Maybe you're a Christian and you have a hard time witnessing to people. Remember that Christ gives you victory over your flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh isn't going to help you witness. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 has a good promise for us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Not only does Christ have the power as an authority, but He gives us power as in the ability. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The only way that I can go to South Africa as a missionary is if I have Jesus Christ and His authority in my life through the Holy Spirit. And His power in my life. The only way that you can witness to someone is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the reason that you don't see as much spiritual fruit in your life is because you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's true for me as well. I look at my life and I don't see spiritual fruit. That means that I'm not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been reading recently some missionary biographies. I recommend that you get good books that talk about the working of God in the lives of missionaries who've gone overseas or even here in America, and read the stories of what God can do in the world. He can do those same things today. And that will challenge you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like us to also look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." If you're a child of God today, you are an overcomer. You're an overcomer by position. Now, why not access that victory that you have in position and practically have it in your life? How do we get that? Well, let's take a look in the book of Romans. Turn back to the book of Romans. And we're going to look at this victory and how we get it. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses. And this will be our final passage. And then I'll just make a couple comments. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. We're not going to look at the whole passage, but we're going to start here at verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." First of all, he says we just need to reckon. That means it's something that's true, so we just need to believe that fact and live by that fact. "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Tonight I just started by looking at who does not have authority over us. The devil does not have authority over us as Christians. Who does have authority over us? Christ has authority over us. And there's an interesting thing that needs to take place each day in our lives. We need to reckon what is true to be true and live by that. You know, it's not something magical that happens. We believe as independent Baptists in progressive sanctification. That means when you get saved, you're not all of a sudden kabang perfect. And you don't come to a certain point in your life where you're perfect and you don't need to be sanctified anymore. We believe that it continues till the day that you die, that you have to yield yourselves, your members, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield yourselves unto God. So this week, as you go about your daily tasks, your daily life, you live with your family, you know your brothers or sisters irritate you, or maybe you're at school and you come across the normal situations, the temptations. You're at the store, you're with your coworkers, and those temptations come into your life. What do? You reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your lives this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we are alive unto God and dead to sin. Lord, just a simple fact that we need to live by the truth that is true. We need to reckon and we need to yield to the victory that you've given to us through Jesus Christ. I pray that each one here today, as they go about their life this week, that they would experience that victory that is theirs through Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor John.